It's a beautiful video of this song where they went into a prison and they have the prisoners and they're worshiping. And these, it's a lot of men, it's a men's prison, and these men stand there who are in jail. And their hands are lifted up and they sing, "I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child to God." Touches your heart when you see that. Bless those who do those ministries and take care of those people as well. Would you agree with me if I said that often when we look at ourselves, who we are and how we live our lives, we don't think too badly of ourselves? We'll say, "I'm kind of okay. I might have a few things that are not that great, and there's a few things that I maybe need to work on, but overall, I'm kind of okay, and in any case, that's just who I are and who I am." A little like little Johnny. Your third year grader comes home from school, and he's a little upset what's going on, and shows his arm, and there's a bite mark. "What happened?" "No, little Johnny got angry at me, and little Johnny bit me." So you set up a meeting at school to meet with little Johnny's parents, and you sit there and you start talking, and then you show the arm and you say, "This is what happened to my son." And little Johnny's parents looks at it and said, "Oh, that's just little Johnny. He's a biter." And you're okay with that, right? What if God said, "Okay, so you say, this is just me. I'm a biter, and this is who I am, and I'm going to stay like this." What if there's a much better version of you that is just waiting to blossom? How do we become that person that God wants us to be? How do we change those old things that sometimes we kind of treasure a little bit and hold on to? How do we get rid of them? Or maybe the biggest question is this: is change even possible? I mean, I'm 65. You're 86. You're 70. You're 30. You're 40. You're 20. Is change even possible? Sometimes when I think of life, I think of it as an escalator, but a down-going escalator. Kind of starts there, and then from there on, it's downward all the way, and things just go down. And it's even worse if you don't change them and take care of them. Let me give you an example. You don't take care of your health, it's going to get worse even faster. You don't take care of your car and have it serviced and all done, all that stuff, one day you're going to think you're driving, you're going to break down. That escalator, it never stops. It keeps on going. It keeps on going. And often, when a person like me, like you, we want to grow. We want to grow in our character, in our personality, in our maturity. We find that it's like trying to go up on this elevator coming down. It's not easy. You go, but this thing keeps going down. This thing keeps going down. And you have this feeling that I so want to work on this anger problem. And I so want to change that I'm not just self-centered. And I want to change attitude, but it's hard. I'm going up and I'm working and I'm doing okay. But in the moment when I need to take that breather, boom, I'm right down at the bottom again, back to square one. Is it just me? Or has anyone else been there too? So we're talking about hope. Is there hope that we can get to the top, that we can change? Yes, there is. But the hope is not in me, because I'm running that elevator. The hope is in one way stronger than me. So I'm going to take you to a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples. Now let me just preface this and put this in perspective. Where we're going to go, John 15, it's kind of the end of Jesus' ministry. So he's been with the disciples for 3 years. He's influenced them. He's been there to say, oh, Peter, that's not the way to go. John, working on each one of them, influencing them, their lives, helping them grow, helping them become who God wanted them to be, helping them to become those people that he would send into this world that he could use. He's on his way home, back to his father. So they're going to be here, like us. How do you remain in him? How do you grow? Because they're going to hit that elevator just as hard as we're going to hit that elevator. And it seems to me the catalyst for this conversation is as they're walking, and some of you have been there with me in Israel, as they walk, they see these beautiful vineyards. And he stops. He says, I want to talk to you a little bit. Let's sit here and then let's look at the vineyard. And then we'll work from there. John 15. I'm going to read verse 1 first. Jesus, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. Can I stop there for a second? And I know my daughter doesn't like when I do this, but I'm sorry. I have to do it like this morning. I am starts with a beautiful statement. In the book of John, you'll find so many I am statements. I am the light. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. I am, I am, I am. Can you remember where this comes from? When God calls Moses to go back to the Israelites, Moses says, who will I say sent me? God says, I am who I am. So Jesus, by saying this immediately, says, do you know who I am? I am the I am. And then he describes two roles. Actually, a third one's coming in a second. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. So he says, my role is this. I'm the vine. Where do we find the vine? The vine is that which is planted. And the vine is that which takes the water and the nutrients and pulls it up and pushes that all into the branches, into the fruit, into the leaves, so that these fruit can grow and this can produce what it needs to produce. That is the vine. The vine gives life and growth. So who's the vine? What gives life and growth? What gets you up the elevator? The vine. My Father has a job. My Father actually is the one who does everything. My Father is the gardener. My Father dug the hole. My Father planted the vine. My Father waters the vine. My Father fertilizes the vine. My Father, also the little piece that we're not going to read this morning because you know it well, is also the one who needs to prune. Because as the vine grows, there are branches that grow. On the branches, there's fruit. But to have good fruit, sometimes you need to cut out those branches that are not working. You have to get rid of those little tendrils that are growing all over the place that are taking all of the nutrients that should go into the branches and into the fruit so that they can become strong and beautiful and that which the gardener wants them to be. That's us. I give life and growth, and my Father takes care of all of this and provides so that there can be life and growth. Who gets me up the elevator? But there's a role for us to play too. Verse 5, and I'm going to break verse 5 down into four pieces. I am the vine, and you are the branches. There's your role. I'm the vine, but you're the branches. Where do the branches grow? In the vine. Branches not planted won't grow. Branch lying on the ground on its own won't grow. A branch on its own cannot bear fruit. A branch on its own is worthless. It will run that elevator and it will come down time and time again. But I'm just a biter. No. In the vine. Then the branch will grow. But there's a little bit of a warning in this too. The branch cannot do anything on its own, yes. But if the branch is connected to the wrong vine, it will bear the fruit of that vine. Be careful to which vine your branch is connected. You connect it to the world, it will bear its fruit. You connect it to material things, it will bear that fruit. You connect it to thinking you can do it yourself, it's going to be nothing. There is only one true vine. I am the true vine. You're the branches. You need to be connected. Because if you are connected, this is how the relationship sounds. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you, and underline this word, remain in me, and I in you. Can you see the relationship? If you remain in me, if you are connected to me, if you are joined to me, there's the relationship connected to Jesus, to the one true vine. When that happens, there will be supernatural growth in your life. But I want you to see the relationship, because here's where we get it wrong often. The relationship of being connected to Jesus, remaining in Jesus, one with Jesus, is not the same as that of a boss and an employee. So a boss-employee works like this. I go to the office, I have to do what the boss says. This is what he wants, these are the rules, I have to keep it by that. But the moment I close that door, I walk out there and I get in my car, that boss has nothing to say over my life. He can't tell me what to do, he can't influence my life, he just has to pay my salary, that's it. Whatever I do is my problem. It's also not the relationship of parents and child. Because yes, as a child, we grow up in the relationship with parents, but as we grow up, we leave the home. We think we have an influence. Sometimes we don't. And they go out and they do whatever they want. They grow up in my house and they cut their hair, or they leave the house, they put rings in their nose. I didn't say that. There's still the relationship, but they can do whatever they want once they leave the house. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches, remain in me. I want to be wherever you go, whatever you do, whoever you are, however you react, whatever you choose. Remaining in me means you and I, we're there together. Remaining in Jesus doesn't mean I take my little branch and I go do what I want. And then I come back and say, we're connected again. No, 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 no. Remain in me. This is how it looks like. There's a consequence to that. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. We all know Jesus is not talking about grapes and apples and bananas and pears, right? He's talking about spiritual growth. He's talking about becoming that person who God made me. Not just, oh, I'm little Johnny, I bite. No, no, no. That's not who he made you to be. He's talking about looking at my life and seeing how I become more and more of who God is and who God wants me to be. Do you remember the fruit that God gives us? Anyone remember Galatians 5? Love and joy and peace and kindness and gentleness and self-control. The more I remain in him and he in me, you will bear much fruit. Through this work of God's Holy Spirit, your life will change. And the world will look at you and say, wow, Hank, I see the fingerprints of God all over you. In the way you love and care. In the way that you just speak of me and live for me. I see Jesus in the way that you walk. I see Jesus in the way that you hold your wife and your children. I see Jesus in the way that you just share your gifts and your love. I see Jesus in all of you. Because where are we? If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. You're not going to struggle to get up there. You are going to grow and become who God wants you to be. But there's a little warning in this too. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain and I remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. That's scary, but exciting. In me, much fruit. Apart from me, nothing. I never want to be a nothing, Lord, please. I never want to be a nothing. Can I please be in you? Because when I am in God, when I'm in Jesus, when I let the gardener work in my life, I can bear all the fruit that I need. Lord, I struggle with patience. Lord, I struggle with my self-control. Lord, I struggle with the anger. Lord, I struggle to care. I struggle to break these habits in me. In me, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, that means the branches off. Nothing. Did you see the focus? Remain in me. Where are you? Is your branch connected? Where is it connected? Look at verse 6 and 7. Beautiful focus. If you do not, and there's that word again that I said on the line, if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burnt. See, there's the thing. If I'm not in Christ, where am I? I'm done. Because what did we say? The vine gives life and growth. The vine is taken care by the Father. If you are not in me, you're like a dead branch that's lying there that they cut off. And all they do with the dead branches, they gather them, they let them dry out, they put them on fire, and there's nothing left. All that's left is dust and ashes. Only in me. Look at the last part. If you remain in me, look at the words, remain in me, and my words remain in you, you can ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Isn't that a beautiful promise? Oh my goodness, here's the prosperity theology. Lord, so I'm in you. I want a new car. You're going to give me, right? I want a new house, Lord. I don't like the one I have anymore. And I can do with a few dollars in here, and I'd love a cottage because I don't have one. And God says, whatever you ask because you're in me, I'm going to give it. That's where they get it wrong. Context. Context. The context says, how do you grow spiritually? How do you become the woman, the man, the young person that God intended you to be? Not just I'm Johnny the Biter. When I'm struggling and I'm Johnny the Biter and I'm struggling with the anger and I'm struggling with the self-control and I'm struggling with all these other things, he says, ask and it will be given. Lord, I need patience. Ask. Lord, I need to learn how to love better. Ask. Lord, I need to learn how to serve better and show you in this world. Ask. Lord, I can't get up that elevator on my own. Ask. Because whatever you ask, you will be given. Not the things of the world. Who Who do you become in Jesus Christ? Who do you want to be? What is there that you need to ask? Lord, this is what I need to grow. To be that branch that is so beautiful, that bears that fruit, that you smile when you see that. What do you need to ask? Because here's my question. What is there that Jesus cannot do in your life? What behavior, what action, what relationship can He not change? Hey, you're not just Johnny. You're not just a biter. He died. And He said, now you're here. The way you're going to make it is to walk with me. So my challenge is this. In the next 2-3 weeks, why don't you take Jesus at His word? Say, here I am, Lord, and I'm going to remain in You and I'm connected. But here are the things that I struggle. Let's take one of them. Say, Lord, I'm going to ask, and I'm going to ask, and I'm going to ask. Thank You that You give. Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer. Thank You for being You, Lord. Thank You for just saying it as it is. I'm the vine, and You're the branches. Remain in Me, and You have fruit. If you are cut off from Me, you will die. And we know that. But it's not a threat, it's an invitation. Because You're waiting with Your open arms, waiting to hold us. Thank You for the hope that we don't have to run up that elevator on our own and try to get to the top. Because we are in You and You are in us. So in these weeks, Lord, as we ask, thank You that You provide. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This is the Lord's table. Welcome to the table of the Lord. If you're visiting with us and you take communion at your church, please take communion with us. It's the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, which says we are one body as we believe in Jesus Christ, because we all are in the one vine. His name is Jesus. Bled, died for us. And these are the symbols. Now, amazing when we take this morning, and I'm going to give you little moments when you take the bread and wine. Just be quiet for a moment and talk to the vine. Talk to Him about who you are and your needs. Let Him speak into your life. Bow your heads with me in prayer, please. Father, thank You for this moment. We haven't done communion like this for nearly 3.5 years. Thank You. Thank You that we can smell the bread and smell this grape juice. Taste and see that the Lord is good. For You are. And as we receive these gifts, thank You for reminding us that You are in us and we can remain in You and know that You are there. So as we gather at this table, Lord, please bless the bread, bless the wine, bless this moment. As we come before You. So Lord, in this moment, we're going to pray and we're going to say the words of the Apostles' Creed. And they will be on the screen. This is what we profess in You. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body and the life after us. Amen. Folks often ask when we say the Apostles' Creed, why do we say we believe in the Holy Catholic Church when we are a Presbyterian church? The word Catholic is not Roman Catholic. Catholic means universal church of God. So when we say that, we believe in the church, as in the body of Jesus Christ. I forgot my glasses, but I'm sure I'm going to get through this. Don't worry. See if the eyes can read. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. So after taking the cup, he gave thanks, and he said, take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. But we continue to be connected to the vine and live off the vine. And then he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. And today we celebrate that. And like the Lord Jesus, we take this bread, and this bread that we break is our communion, our oneness, our remaining in Jesus Christ and what he did for us. So as we take this bread, remind yourself of what it cost for him to be broken like this, so that we may eat and remember that we will not be broken, because he has gifted us with the gift of his life. So take this bread and eat. This is for you. We're going to hand out the bread. Wait with your little piece. When we've all received our piece of bread, we're going to eat together. Lord, we're holding a small piece of bread, but it's so much more than that. It reminds us in this moment of when you were hanging on that cross and your precious body was broken. You suffered all of that pain, but even more, you suffered under all of our sins that was placed on your shoulders. Forgotten by man, and God having to close his ears when his son cried, Father, my God, my God. So as we hold this, thank you for that precious body. Thank you for taking our sins upon you, Lord Jesus, and dying for us. Thank you for the gift of this piece of bread that reminds us of who we are. No longer slaves of sin and of this world, children of God through Jesus. Bless the bread, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The body of Christ. Amen. The cup of thanksgiving that we bless with thanksgiving is our communion with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take this cup and drink, each one of you. As you drink this cup, remember that he says, this is how I wash you, cleansed, white as snow, pure as wool. My blood for you. So take and drink. This is the gift of God. We're going to do the same with the cups. We're going to hand them out. Please wait and we'll all drink together. Lord, as we hold this little cup, we are reminded of the cost for you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your precious, precious blood that flowed on that cross. Takes me to Romans, where Paul says, look at me. I'm just this horrible person. I try and climb that escalator, but the more I try, the less I'm able to do that. I'm always failing. Who can help me? And then he shouts those beautiful words. I thank God in Jesus Christ. For there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. And when we drink this wine, we are reminded there is no condemnation. It is the wine of release. The blood that cleanses, that makes a new covenant in you, Lord Jesus. That you are the vine, the true vine. Father, you're the gardener. And we're so gifted to be the branches. Thank you for this gift. In your precious name we pray. Amen. The blood of Christ. In a moment, we're going to close the services. We say thank you for what the Lord has provided. I'm going to pray with you, and we're going to end our prayer with the Lord's Prayer. It'll be on the screen as well. Thank you for those who went across the border and brought some grape juice back. As crazy as that sounds, we do not have grape juice that we can buy in Canada right now. That's why we kept on using those little ones. So if you cross the border and you want to bring a jug of grape juice, that'll be greatly appreciated. We keep them and then we can use them again. Thank you so much. Thank you for your help afterwards as we clean up. As you are able, let's stand for the closing prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and then our last closing song as well. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of the amazing deeds that the Lord has done for you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, for he allows you to go to sleep at night and wake in the morning, and he keeps watch over you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, for he is good. His goodness and his love endures forever. We have been fed, Lord, in the most gracious way. So here as we pray in thanksgiving, and all of God's people say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Praise team, if you want to come up, we can sing. Yeah.